Welcome to Myerstown Church of the Brethren this morning, Mother's Day, May 10th. It's good to have you with us on our video worship this morning. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. Just a few announcements this morning. Bible study, our third session, is on Monday night at 7 o'clock. The email bulletin that went out on Saturday morning has all the information to connect, and it's not too late. If you haven't joined us yet, you're welcome to come in and join us either through Zoom or on your phone. Also, some updates, prayer updates. The whole list is in that bulletin, but the Wengers, Roy Wenger family, is doing better. They have all three had the coronavirus, but they're doing better. Kim still needs some prayer, so keep them all in your prayers. And also, Iris Liske was diagnosed with the COVID-19 virus, so keep her in your prayers as well. I invite you to come to worship this morning with these words from the 66th Psalm. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Let's join in worship as Barb leads us. First from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. Good morning. I almost said Merry Christmas because this morning when I woke up, there was snow on my deck, and it felt more like Christmas than it did Mother's Day. But it's supposed to warm up, so that's good. Well, today is Mother's Day, and hopefully you've done something special for your mother, or you have something special planned to do for your mother today. Maybe you made her breakfast, or maybe you let her sleep in a little bit later this morning. My mom is 91 years old, and she lives in Londonderry Village, which is in Palmyra. I can't visit her right now because of the virus, but I did send her a card, and we will talk on the telephone later on today. Well, this morning in my sermon, I'm going to talk about a ketchup bottle. Now, that seems like a really strange thing to talk about in church, a ketchup bottle. But I have two bottles here. One is the Heinz ketchup, and the other one is A1 steak sauce. Now, if you look at the two bottles, you can see very, very clearly that there's ketchup in this bottle. It's a little clear at the top here, and of course you see the red ketchup. But you really can't see what is inside this A1 steak sauce bottle, because the bottle is brown. And you really don't know what's inside there until you pour it out on a hamburger or a piece of meat and then enjoy its flavor. Well, my mom reminds me of this ketchup bottle because I could see very, very clearly what she was thinking. If I did something wrong, we got the look, you know. And you probably got the look once or twice in your own life, right? Yes. Well, right away, I knew what Mom was thinking. She was very expressive in that way. And I knew what was going on inside her. If she was upset with me, or if she was very happy for me as well. Both ways, I could tell what she was thinking. Well, what about you? Did you ever have that experience with your own mom? Does your mother know if you're telling her the truth or if you've done something wrong before you even realize that she's knowing what you've done? You get that look. Moms are like that. But it's all for our good. Our moms love us and care for us, and it's very nice that we would take at least one day, but maybe something every day would be nice to do for our moms. I want to share a scripture with you. It's from Proverbs 31, and it's verses 30 and 31. And this is what it says. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. So I hope you take some time today to reward your mom for all that she's done for you. Let's say a prayer. God, we thank you for mothers, and we thank you for the love that they share with us. May we take some time today, each one of us, to let our moms know that we love them too. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our second scripture this morning is from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Well, it's the quintessential condiment found in virtually every American refrigerator and on the table in every real American diner. We put it on everything from eggs to fries to hot dogs and hamburgers, and the thicker the better. It takes a couple of whacks on the bottle or a firm squeeze to get it moving. But as an old commercial once said, the anticipation is worth the wait. I'm talking about ketchup, of course. Granted, not your normal Sunday morning sermon topic. In fact, we don't usually talk about it at all, unless the bottle is empty. It's something we take for granted when we're pouring it on our burger. And its story goes back a long time. In the 16th century, British sailors developed a taste for this strange condiment when they encountered it in Fiji. Its original recipe was from China, where it was known as kai chiap. In China, its ingredients were, well, maybe you don't really want to know what it was made of, but I'll tell you anyhow. It was a fermented mixture of fish innards and salt. Well, being good Brits, the sailors added a little beer to it to suit their taste. And eventually the fish innards were replaced with anchovies. Frankly, I'm not sure if that was much of an improvement. Then walnuts and eventually mushrooms. And it wasn't until the 19th century that tomatoes got in the mix, and then only after Europeans and Americans decided that tomatoes weren't actually poisonous. But even then, the concoction, according to an 1866 cookbook, was considered filthy, decomposed, and putrid, and contained injurious ingredients that could lead to death. Well, besides the fact that the conditions under which it was made were often unsanitary and lacked appropriate storage, and then one of its ingredients was highly flammable coal tar, which was added to give it its red color, you thought that that double cheeseburger with bacon was dangerous for your health. Well, thanks to Henry J. Heinz, that all changed. In 1876, Heinz bottled his first batch of ketchup. Heinz worked hard at developing an environment that was safe and clean and a process that would guarantee his ketchup was produced in a way that was pure, enjoyable, and transparent. His factory was spotless. His workers encouraged to be meticulous with cleanliness. He provided them with benefits and facilities previously unheard of, like fresh uniforms for each day, free life insurance and health care, athletic facilities, and even an in-house manicurist to make sure that every worker's nails were clean and neat. Heinz was so focused on purity and transparency that he refused to bottle his ketchup in the dark brown bottles that were common at the time, in choosing instead to use clear glass bottles as a way of demonstrating his product's purity. Well, by 1906, Heinz was selling 5 million bottles of preservative-free ketchup every year, and chances are pretty good that in 2020, that bottle of ketchup in your refrigerator still has that Heinz label on it. Heinz built his business on transparency, on earning the trust of consumers as he focused on purity and quality. And besides the use of clear glass, he opened his factory to tours so everyone could see that he had nothing to hide. That clear bottle of Heinz ketchup, whether it be the traditional glass bottle or the more recent squeeze bottles, is still something people trust and sometimes take for granted. And even though H.J. Heinz made ketchup and 57 other varieties according to his labels, he was equally concerned about making the world a better place, as evidenced by his concern for a quality product, his investment in his workers, and his many philanthropic endeavors. I wonder, are we as eager to do good, as Peter puts it in today's first scripture? Are we living lives that are equally as transparent, doing what is right, no matter what it might cost us? What do people see when they look at your life? Is your life as transparent as a Heinz ketchup bottle? Or are you hiding something that you don't want people to see, displaying that happy face when you come to church, but underneath you're hurting, or you're hiding some sin you're ashamed of and you don't want others to know about? Is there something that is filthy, decomposed, and putrid? Are there some injurious ingredients in your life? Peter challenges us to live the Christian life in such a way that everyone who sees us will know exactly what's on the inside. Keep your conscience clear, he says. The real test of the Christian life is the ability to stay pure and transparent, even when the culture around you is trying to pour the spiritual equivalent of coal tar into your life. Well, over the last 100 years or so, other producers have tried to make better ketchup, but consumers keep coming back to Heinz's original recipe. Indeed, there are a lot of products out there today that try to imitate the real thing. Things like plastic decking that looks like wood, or vinyl flooring that looks like ceramic tile, or wood planks. A new one I found is spray-on mud. For $15 a can, you can make your sport utility vehicle look like you've just returned from some wilderness adventure. Sometimes do we spray on our Christian face to cover up the real us that's inside? Well, Peter gives us some advice on how we can live a life as transparent as a bottle of ketchup. First, he says, if you're going to live a transparent and pure Christian life, you must, in your heart, sanctify Christ as Lord. Jesus has to be Lord of your life. That word Lord implies one who is the ruler of your life, the one on whom you measure and pattern your life. Jesus said, "If you love me, obey my commandments." So if Jesus is Lord of your life, you're trying to live like he taught you to live, obeying his commandments, even the hard ones, like love your enemies. I think we all know it's not as easy as it sounds, and Jesus knew that too. We know in the days following Jesus' death and resurrection, the disciples were wondering what would happen to them. And I wondered, did they remember the promise Jesus gave them before his crucifixion, where he said, "I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Kathy's parents came to live with us in 1999. Her father passed first, and then her mother a few years later. And because they lived with us for almost 8 years, we still have things in our home that were theirs, as well as many, many pictures. My father always told us he was going to live to be 100. He didn't. He passed in 2010 at the age of 84. And I have several things that were his. A watch, some of his tools. He was a carpenter, so I have some of his tools, and some of his woodworking projects, as well as many, many pictures. Well, these things provide memories and remind us of the times we had with our parents when they were with us. And while we may have good feelings when we remember them, we're also reminded of the sharpness of their absence. And sometimes when we look at those family pictures, we're reminded that they are with us really more than we realize in the genetics of our physical bodies. The older I get, the more I resemble my father's father, my grandfather Garrison. And as my sons have gotten older, those Garrison genes seem to become more and more obvious. And my daughter looks more like my grandmother Garrison, like her grandmother Garrison, when she was the same age. We all carry something in us that identifies us with our ancestors. Jesus told his disciples, "You will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." In 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul asked the believers at Corinth this question: "Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you?" Now, we might find that question surprising, and I think Paul was asking us this same question: "Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you?" It's easy to read over those words without thinking too much about them. Yet Paul wasn't asking a metaphorical question. He truly meant that Jesus Christ actually dwells in the lives of believers. In John 14, Jesus told his disciples he would give them another advocate to be with you forever, Jesus being the first advocate, and this other advocate being the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that fulfillment of Jesus in us. And like the Corinthians, we need to realize this fact about ourselves, that Jesus is in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord at our baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit. As the pastor lays his hands on us following our baptism, the prayer is often that the Holy Spirit will fill us and that Jesus will be seen in us. Jesus is not merely outside of us as our helper in a time of need. He dwells in us, living in us, and he's with us all the time. "I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You in me, and I in you. You in me, and I in you." Repeat that over several times and let it sink in. You in me, and I in you. Multiple times, Paul reminds the believers of this eternal truth. In Romans 8, 10 and 11, he writes, "If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. We've been created by God with a body, soul, and spirit. And when we receive Jesus as our Savior, he took away our sin, sin which leads to death, and came into our spirit, so by his Spirit, we now have life. He dwells in us through his Spirit, and Jesus recognizes us as one of his own. And in Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, "It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." And Paul is clearly telling us that Christ lives in those who believe in him. The Christian life isn't a matter of just believing or behaving in a Christ-like way. It's a matter of allowing Jesus himself to live in and through us. Our lives should be so transparent that Jesus shines through. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen the Holy Spirit? I'm sure the answer is probably no. But the Bible gives us some descriptions, things like wind and flames of fire. But we don't really know what the Holy Spirit looks like, and that's what makes this aspect of the Godhead sometimes difficult to understand. And yet, in his words in John 14, Jesus gives us two clues as to what the Spirit looks like. First, Jesus calls the Spirit an advocate. This advocate is described in Scripture as one who speaks on our behalf, who stands up for us, who teaches us, who is always with us. So when you pray, the Holy Spirit is praying along with you, advocating to the Father for you. And as you come to know and understand Jesus more and more, that's the Spirit opening your mind to understanding. And second, Jesus says he gives us another advocate. The Holy Spirit is that other advocate, and as I said, Jesus is the first. The Holy Spirit looks like Jesus. And Jesus tells us, you know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, Jesus said. If we truly love Jesus, we'll try to act like Jesus. We'll love like Jesus loved. We'll stand up for the outsider. We'll forgive as we've been forgiven. In other words, you do know him. You know the Holy Spirit because you've seen him in yourself and in others. The Holy Spirit looks a lot like us when we try to be more like Jesus and share Jesus' love in the world. You know him when Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, is at work in you and through you. You know, people are watching. And if you know him, if you love him, and are obeying his commandments, it will show through in your words and in your actions. But that doesn't mean that our lives will become easy when we live like Jesus. In fact, the opposite might be true. And Peter warns us that even when we try as hard as we can to be like Jesus, that sometimes we might suffer for doing what is right. And let's face it, suffering for our faith is something that we American Christians don't know a whole lot about. Thinking back, I can't imagine to have been in the shoes, for example, of a Nigerian brethren mother whose daughter was kidnapped from the school in Chibok. And that violence in Nigeria is continuing. Even in this time of the global pandemic, Boko Haram continues its violent ways in northeastern Nigeria. Today, here in our own country, we worry about businesses that have been closed for several months and those people who can't make mortgage or rent payments. And those are serious issues. But imagine for a moment what it would be like to have your house or business burned to the ground because you're a follower of Jesus. What it would be like to have this building burned to the ground because it's a place of worship for followers of Jesus. What it would be like to be afraid to go to worship on Sunday morning because you might be a target, because you're a follower of Jesus. Perhaps for us here in America, suffering means to be like Jesus and willingly abstain from certain behaviors or things in the name of our Christian faith, things that our culture might find as normal. Perhaps it means to stand against some of the ways of the world in order to create a more just society. Perhaps it means not letting words from those who criticize or condemn us for our faith get to us. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. We have been given what we need to live the kind of life Jesus taught us to live, to be eager to do good in this his name, to endure suffering because we know that now and forever Christ is with us, even if we suffer for allowing Jesus to shine through us. Don't worry or be afraid, Peter said. Even if we suffer for doing good, those who condemn or criticize will be ashamed when they see what a good life we live because we belong to Christ. What Peter is talking about, I think, is living a transparent life, a life where Jesus shines through. My experience is that the quickest way to stop a conversation with a stranger on an airplane is to tell them that I'm a pastor. As a rule, people don't want to take that conversation any further. But just in case someone wants to pursue it further, Peter says that if your life is so transparent that someone happens to notice there's something different about you, if they ask about your Christian hope or your faith, you should always be ready to explain it. Be ready to give an answer, he says. But do it like Jesus would, with gentleness and reverence. Now you might think Peter is saying you have to come up with some long, theologically well thought out and correct faith statement, or you worry that you'll say the wrong thing. Remember what Jesus said. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Spirit of Christ is in you and will give you the words. Have you ever been traveling down the road and seen a car with loads of bumper stickers that immediately identify the driver as a Christian, but then you see them cutting off someone or reacting with a certain gesture at someone who cut them off, or impatiently blowing their horn and yelling at the person in front of them who didn't see the light change immediately? Who they really are is showing through, and it might not gel with their bumper stickers. If others are to see Jesus shining through us, our being must be consistent with our saying and doing. Who we are must match what we say and what we do. Our message and methods should match those of our model. Don't be boisterous or obnoxious, Peter says, in sharing when asked about your faith, our lifestyle, or your Christian perspective. Rather, be gentle and respectful. As one commentator I read has said, you may not be able to keep people from speaking evil against you, but you can at least stop supplying them with ammunition. Like everything else in the Christian life, it all comes down to one thing: love. Love God and love others as we have been loved. So back to the ketchup bottle. If you're living a pure and transparent Christian life, the kind of life that is in Christ and Christ in you, then Jesus will be seen in you. He will be seen in the way you live your life, in your attitudes, your behaviors, your priorities, in the way you treat your neighbors, your co-workers, your classmates, your family. If you love him and obey his commandments, if his Spirit is in you, Jesus will be seen in you. Can other people see Jesus in you? Like that clear ketchup bottle, can others see in you the one who is in you? Jesus said that the true people of God will be known by their fruits. Are you living a life that's pure, inviting, transparent? In your words and actions, can others see in you a vision of the one who loves you, cares for you, has called you and lives in you? Like that Heinz ketchup bottle, our lives need to be transparent, pure, so others can see Christ who is in us. Next time you pick up your bottle of ketchup, Heinz or whatever variety, and start pouring it on your burger. Take a good look at that bottle. And remember the kind of life Jesus is calling you to live. What do others see? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that we don't walk this life alone, that you are with us, that you are in us in the person of your Spirit. Might we be in tune to your Spirit, sense your Spirit's presence in us, allow your Spirit to speak to us, to guide us into understanding, to guide us into Christ-like actions in our lives as we try to live that kind of transparent life you've called us to live. Again, on this Mother's Day, we pray your special blessing on mothers. Give them your peace. In these days, give them your strength. We give you thanks and praise for who you are, with us and in us. Amen.
Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm looking at the camera while I'm doing the Bible verse.
Okay, good.
Why are you looking at the camera?
Oh,
too?
Okay.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be alone. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know it will be here with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now my head, you anoint my head with oil. Surely,
my cup,
okay. My cup overflows. Surely, yes. Surely goodness will follow me all the days
surely
of my
life. Goodness and love.
Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you.